Theater of the Mind.
While his prejudices, personal difficulties, and stunted social development may have bequeathed him a rather unpleasant personality, there's no denying Howard Phillips Lovecraft imbued his writing with a very visceral intensity. Raised by a class-conscious family devoid of warmth and compassion, the young H.P. grew to become a somewhat paranoid and xenophobic adult. But it was his literary acumen and visionary imagination that transformed those unpleasant but mundane insecurities and social biases into terrifying otherworldly threats. Fear of every flavor, from paranoia to horror to soul-destroying terror, seeps through his work like a toxic solvent. He had little love for the vapid romances and platitudinous hero stories so popular at that time. The world, according to H.P., was a whited sepulcher, only pretty on the surface until you get a glimpse of the corruption beneath. Cities that seemed beautiful in the distance, on close observation, are squalid by light of day and menacing at night. The thirst for knowledge, one of man's most noble qualities, is a dangerous path that, to the unrestrained, devolves into obsession and atrocity. Sinister plots and depraved rituals abound behind closed doors. Ancestral sins bring doom to unwitting heirs, and always, everywhere, is the hint of proximity to another world, an alien place of unimaginable darkness and chaos. The sort of world that, lightly sampled, stains mundane reality with menace, and in large doses chills the blood and grips the heart with fear. The sort of world that haunters love and enviously seek to emulate. The Lovecraft-based haunt is not a simple thing to pull off effectively. A lot of people haven't actually read much of his work and only know a few related images taken from a handful of stories. A haunter who sets up a generic horror story and adds a few tentacles is not building a Lovecraft haunt. It's the horror equivalent of hot gluing a couple of gears on something and calling it steampunk. There are multiple layers of theme, atmosphere, and aesthetic involved, and a haunter who wants to create a world that people will walk through and say, "Damn, that's straight out of Lovecraft," is going to have to do considerable planning and definitely spend a few bucks on the build. While his themes can be used in any time frame, the stories take place primarily in the period from the turn of the 20th century to shortly before the Second World War. Building a themed haunt set in that time period certainly would be splendid, and in my opinion, it would add a real richness to the horror and set it apart from other haunts. But let's face it, creating anything period, whether it's costuming or set design, is expensive, because almost everything is a specialty item that needs to be purchased or created from scratch, and time and materials equal money. Fortunately, filmmakers have shown that these themes can be recast in modern times, as movies like Reanimator, From Beyond, and Dagon can attest. The rule of thumb is the same as for the classic Gothic haunted manor. If you have the resources, go for it. But if not, just do a little brain work and figure out how to modernize the setting while holding on to the spirit of the story. One definite challenge is one of scale. On one of the last episodes of Hauntcast, I did a piece on thinking big versus thinking small in a haunt. I'm not sure how well I was able to get the idea across, but the world of H.P. Lovecraft is a perfect illustration of that concept. Lovecraft was certainly influenced to a great extent by his literary hero Edgar Allan Poe. His earliest writings reveal that. But he went far beyond most of Poe's wildest fantasies in scope. Alien worlds, massive towering architecture, and vast cities abound. Poe's writing was much more intimate and involved in interactions between individuals, and the scope in any scene rarely was larger than a single room or house. Evil things in Poe's work threatened and destroyed individuals and families. Evil things in Lovecraft's work threatened the entirety of all creation. Little difference in threat level there. Lovecraft conceptualized entire worlds and populated them with often colossal creatures. Fortunately for the haunter, he also envisioned secret societies and cults to worship those entities, and individuals acting as servants or representatives for them. While a haunt simply isn't big or budgeted enough to create the Antarctic Plateau of Leng or the hideous subterranean city beneath Exham Priory, a single cave or underground city entrance is certainly feasible, as would be an explorer or researcher's library filled with artifacts, maps, and photographs of such places. No one would attempt a scene with a full-size Cthulhu or Yog-Sothoth, at least not yet. Maybe Haunted Overload will be nuts enough to try it one day, but until the day comes when their budget can cover it, it's just not feasible. However, covens and secret priests of the cults devoted to these terrifying beings can provide plenty of atrocities and unspeakable rituals to provide some nicely disturbing scenes and backstories. Also, Lovecraft sometimes played with the idea of interbreeding between his otherworldly gods and aliens and with the human race, producing hideous mongrel races of half-humans. This idea could also be used to explain smaller-scale versions of his larger boss-type creatures. It's your haunt. You don't have to hold to one of his storylines verbatim, so long as the ideas are there. As to the appearance of the otherworldly beings, haunters have a lot of leeway because Lovecraft left many physical descriptions of his horrors intentionally vague. Two concepts very important to him were the normality bias of human perception and the otherworldliness of alien life. Lovecraft was atheist, and the gods he referred to were not truly deities in the religious sense, but creatures from other dimensions or beyond the stars. And while they may have had powerful paranormal abilities, they always had some degree of physical existence and were subject to the laws of physics. Being from another world, their anatomy would be so radically different from terrestrial life that humans observing them would find it almost impossible to put into words. Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry's ears and forehead of the week approach to extraterrestrial races would have disgusted Lovecraft. When he gave you an alien, by God, it was alien. And the realization that something so unprecedented and inexplicable were actually a living being would be considered utterly terrifying to an ordinary human. He left it up to the imagination of the individual reader to fill in the blanks and picture what the character in the story is seeing. What this breaks down to for the haunter is that you have a few general details to go off of and carte blanche to just go to town and make it as horrifying, confusing, beautiful, or disgusting as you see fit. And only partially revealing the baddie, giving just a hint but never letting people see the whole thing, would get you two big thumbs up from old Howard himself. Lovecraft's fascination with science, coupled with a deep distrust of intellectualism without moral restraint, created a fertile soil for Frankensteinian tales of sci-fi horror. When you look at the era in which he wrote, scientific knowledge was exploding at an exponential rate. Electric power was widely used, but the grid did not yet exist, and early 20th century scientists were experimenting with cathode rays and subatomic particles at a time when many people were still lighting their homes with gas lights and kerosene lamps. Many people at the time were experiencing a sort of future shock, and the excitement of discovery was tinged with anxiety. As Lovecraft once wrote, the oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest fear is fear of the unknown. Like any good horror writer, he played upon the fears of the day and raised the question of when does discovery go too far. His mad scientists and doctors usually start out as good and virtuous individuals of noble purpose whose curiosity and enthusiasm turns to obsession. In a Lovecraftian scene, books and parchments would be everywhere as fanatical researchers are consumed with finding every possible existing bit of knowledge on their subject, and strange formulae and theorems would fill every blackboard and notepad. Moral and ethical restraint peels away until the fanatical seekers become so monomaniacal toward their goal that no atrocity is beyond or beneath them. Bodies have a tendency to pile up around people like that, or at least parts of them, and various dumping grounds or disposal facilities make great scenes for the haunt. Medical experiments alone give opportunity for the haunter to go too far with grisly abominations. And let's face it, Lovecraft was all about going too far. Needless to say, lovers of the mad lab scene can have a field day with Lovecraft. The period dovetails nicely, as anything from the late Victorian and Edwardian eras up through the interwar period would have a nice retro-tech look that Dr. Frankenstein would be proud of. Steampunk lovers rejoice. If you've always wanted to do a steampunk-styled haunt but weren't sure how to make it scary, crack open a book of H.P. Lovecraft stories and get down with your mad self. H.P.'s crazed researchers left no stone unturned, and technology of the day was often blended with arcane ritual and alchemy, resulting in unholy blends of science and the occult. An important theme among his tales of dark research is that of the morality play. Those who go too far in their mastery of forbidden knowledge are eventually consumed or destroyed by it. Contact is finally made with beings from beyond, and the unearthly intelligence revealed is seldom friendly. Creations turn on their creators. Madness and misfortune destroy the obsessed seekers, and portals are opened to worlds of unspeakable horror. Essentially, those who seek knowledge for its own sake become dangerous when they prioritize the gaining of that knowledge over the danger it might present. Whether these mysteries involved conquering death, revealing populated dimensions alongside ours, finding hidden neighborhoods, or simply uncovering one's own genealogy, at some point it becomes apparent that there are some things better off left unknown and unrevealed, and those who soldier on past that point do so at their own peril, or even that of mankind itself. Clearly, building a truly Lovecraftian haunt is a challenging task, and it's not for every haunter. It's definitely not for haunters whose main demographic is little kids, since the thematic material is meant to be intensely disturbing, and there's not really any way to make it whimsical or fun for the little ones while maintaining any authenticity. And it's not for those on a super tight budget or those who aren't good at creative problem solving and suggestion. But if you can hack it, it's solid haunter gold. H.P. Lovecraft was not always the greatest writer in terms of actual writing technique, but his ideas and stories made him possibly the most influential horror writer in the history of the genre. He wasn't a successful writer during his time. Maybe his ideas were too out there or extreme for readers in such conservative times. Maybe his Anglophile writing style was just considered too wordy and stuffy. Or maybe people just thought he was a real prick and didn't want to buy anything from him because they didn't like him. Probably some combination of the above. But the most successful horror writers in the world praise him as their greatest influence, because this guy understood true fear. In his world, reality is much bigger, much more populated, much more dangerous, and much more terrifying than we are aware. And there are things mankind is better off not knowing. To quote the master, in Call of Cthulhu, Francis Wayland Thurston opines, "The most merciful thing in the universe, I think, is the inability of the human mind to correlate all its contents. We live on a placid island of ignorance in the midst of black seas of infinity, and it was not meant that we should voyage far." As haunters, we are travel agents to destinations where no human should go. Let's make sure it's one hell of a trip they never forget, no matter how hard they try. Keep the ghost light burning. I'm Revenant, and you are listening to Hauntcast.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.